Public Broadcasting.
We've heard all the arguments why Medicare for All won't work. Now let's hear from some business people who say Medicare for All would actually be good for business. On Monday night, January 6th, WMNF presents the Business Case for Medicare for All. It takes place at the Palladium in St. Petersburg at 7:30. We'll hear from a leading Pennsylvania manufacturing company who says that single payer would be good for his business and his employees. We'll also meet a former health insurance industry executive who now supports single payer. Tickets are $15 in advance, available at WMNF.org.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. And today we're going to hear what U.S. leaders are saying about Iran and about that U.S. airstrike that killed a top Iranian general. We'll take your phone calls and we'll take your texts and emails as well. I want to know if you think there will be an escalation in violence. I want to know if you feel more or less safe after this airstrike. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Two top Senate Democrats are calling on President Trump to immediately declassify the administration's reasoning for the deadly strike on an Iranian official, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who we'll hear from later in the show, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee's Senator Robert Menendez say there's no legitimate justification for keeping that information from the public. Schumer and Menendez say in a letter to Trump this morning that the White House classified notification sent to Congress on Saturday under the War Powers Act was insufficient. Iraq's parliament has called for the expulsion of all American troops from Iraqi soil. Trump has warned that the U.S. will levy harsh sanctions if Iraq expels American troops in retaliation for the strike in Baghdad that killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Iran has vowed to retaliate. Meanwhile, Iran's supreme leader has wept today while praying over the remains of the dead general. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei offered the prayers in Tehran today. The massive crowd wailed in response. And the daughter of the slain general says the families of U.S. troops in the Mideast are now waiting for the death of their children. Well, there's a lot of news happening when it comes to Iran. And is there going to be an escalation between the U.S. and Iran? And I'd like to know your thoughts. So give us a call, 813-239-9663, or you can email us or text us. And I want to go to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I want to play a few minutes of his interview speaking yesterday on Face the Nation with host Margaret Brennan. And I want to know what you think about Pompeo's justification for the airstrike and what the next steps will be. So here's Mike Pompeo. We'll be back to take your calls in just a couple of minutes after we've heard a little bit from him.
Does eliminating Qasem Soleimani take out the specific plot that you say was an imminent threat?
Margaret, we made the right decision to take out this terrorist. He not only caused enormous death and destruction throughout the region, killed hundreds of Americans over the years, but had done so in the past couple of days, killed an American on December 27th. We watched him continue to actively build out for what was going to be a significant attack. That's what we believed, mm-hmm. And we made the right decision.
But as General Milley said, has it been eliminated?
There are constant threats. We've been under threat from the Islamic Republic of Iran since at least 2015, when the previous administration made the mistake of entering that horrific nuclear deal and gave money and resources to this regime. The threats remain, and we'll continue to take actions to respond to them.
So Iran can still carry out that specific threat you described as imminent. Is it still imminent?
Margaret, we continue to prepare for whatever it is the Iranian regime may put in front of us within the next 10 minutes, within the next 10 days, and within the next 10 weeks. We are focused on delivering a strategy for the American people. We're going to get it right in a moment, but we're more importantly going to get it right over the days and weeks and months ahead. We have put Iran in a position it has not been in before. It is under enormous pressure, and we are continuing to be successful at denying them the resources to conduct precisely the types of campaign that we're confronting as a direct result of what happened over the past 8 years before we came into office.
Up until this point, the U.S. had avoided specifically targeting and taking out top Iranian military leaders. Were all of the president's national security advisors in full agreement that Qasem Soleimani need to be killed?
Yes.
Complete agreement across the cabinet.
It was a collective decision. It was intelligence analysis that doing nothing created far more risk than the action.
But doing nothing isn't the same as saying specifically Qasem Soleimani needed to be killed.
Margaret, there was unanimity that we were making the right decision that day. It was based not only on this intelligence, but you need to look no further than the days that led up to this. Qasem Soleimani led and orchestrated a Khatib Hezbollah attack on an American that killed an American. There was sound and just and legal reason for the actions the president took, and the world is safer as a result of the bold action that President Trump took.
President Trump is saying that there are 52 sites that the U.S. would target if Iran retaliates. How is that consistent with what you say is your message of de-escalation?
Entirely consistent.
Threatening to bomb mainland Iran?
The Iranian leadership needs to understand that attacking Americans is not cost-free. Setting out conditions to say, these are our expectations, these are the things that America is expecting from you, and if you don't do them, the cost will be clear and direct, and we have an obligation to speak to the Iranian leadership clearly and directly so that they understand that America is prepared, that we will continue to keep the American people safe, that we will reduce threats throughout the region if they take certain actions. So they're entirely consistent. The entire strategy has been one of deterrence. To convince the Iranians that it would be so costly and to support the Iranian people so that they could see that what their leadership was doing was destroying their country.
But they're not
backing down. We've been very effective at this.
Why do you think that this will make them back down? Isn't this such a threat to Iranian pride to have one of their most powerful leaders killed?
Qasem Soleimani killed hundreds of Americans. To take a terrorist off the battlefield does not increase the risk of terror. The risk of terror is increased by appeasement. That's what the Obama-Biden administration did. It's what President Trump will never do, Margaret.
Well, he also killed thousands of people in the region. He directed mass murder.
Hundreds of thousands, a massacre in Syria. Absolutely true.
Does this mean other Iranian leaders are now potential U.S. targets?
We're going to do everything required to keep the American people safe.
That sounds like a yes.
We're going to do under President Trump what he has directed for months. We're going to execute our national security strategy and convince the people of Iran that we're with them and the Islamic Republic regime leadership that their terrorism will not benefit them.
Iraq this morning has been carrying out some votes and debate over the presence of U.S. troops. And now the question is, if Iraq legally requires, as this is what they're looking at, U.S. troops to leave, will the U.S. comply?
Morgan, I don't want to speculate about what the Iraqi leadership will do. We'll watch. We're following very closely what's taking place in the Iraqi parliament. Make no mistake about it. The Iraqi people, too, are protesting, but not against America. What you see on TV
is
happening at the direction
of Iraq, who is talking about this expelling 5,000 U.S. troops.
The acting prime minister of Iraq, who resigned because of massive Iranian interference in his own government's ability to execute sovereignty and independence for Iraq. It's why he left.
But and the Iraqi parliament has now voted to approve
it. It is the United States that is prepared to help the Iraqi people get what it is they deserve and continue our mission there to take down terrorism from ISIS and others in the region that is in defense of the Iraqi people and is good for America, too.
Well, that is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking yesterday on Face the Nation with host Margaret Brennan and CBS's show Face the Nation. What do you think about Pompeo's justification for the airstrike and the assassination of the Iraqi general? What will the next steps be? And that was before the vote in the Iraqi parliament. They were talking about that they were discussing U.S. troops getting out. The Iraqi parliament voted in favor of getting the U.S. troops out of their country. That's not a final deal yet. It has to be approved. But what do you think about that? That the Iraqis now say, at least the elected government of Iraq or the elected legislature, the parliament, they have said that they want the U.S. out. 813-239-9663 is the number to call in. It's 12:15 in the afternoon. You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. Thanks so much for joining us. And I hope to hear from you whether you feel more or less safe because of this airstrike and whether there will be an escalation in violence. There's been a lot of Twitter heat coming out of the White House, threats perhaps to Iran if something else happens that the U.S. will respond. What do you think? 813-239-9663. I'm going to go to the phones in just a second. I want to take your calls, but let me read this text message that came in just a second ago. It's from the 813 area code. It is not signed. Please sign your messages. This person, he or she, says, a couple of questions. If the president gets us into a war, will this suspend the election? Will it at least suspend any further action on impeachment? So those two questions are being asked by this person in the 813 area code. Of course, the Constitution does not allow, you know, or does not provide for any of that. But I think this person is saying, if asking the public, asking you, if you think that those are possibilities, if those are things that might happen. All right, well, let's go right now. I think we have on the air. Whoops. Getting used to this new board. I know you hear all the DJs saying that. All right, so right now we have Jack in Dover. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Sean, the first thing that I would like to say is to thank Mr. Lorai for pointing out the difference between what I think a lot of Americans are worried about, active terrorism, and the fact that what happened over there and the gentleman, the general that was assassinated, that he pointed out that the people over there that were killed more as a military, that he wasn't really active as a terrorist, that it was more of a military occupation that caused the death of the 600 American soldiers. I think that's important, and I really appreciate the fact that he pointed that out to everybody, because I don't think there is going to be an escalation in terrorism.
Yeah, the war, you know, a general in war, is he responsible for the deaths of soldiers in war? You know, if you can make the case that that generals, General Rumsfeld, or actually wasn't a general, but Donald Rumsfeld or Dick Cheney might have been responsible for the deaths of soldiers in Iraq or however you want to put it. So yeah, it's kind of a vague term, and I think that that's what the caller Friday was getting at when they said indirectly or directly the deaths, but Pompeo did just say, you know, killed hundreds of Americans, that, or he's responsible for killing.
And that was a mistake. That was a mistake. He shouldn't have stated it in that fashion.
All right. Well, so thanks for weighing in. You think that the...
Can I add one thing real quick, though? Because I understand what Mr. Canan was leading to, is that a lot of people, especially people in my generation, they remember the pizza bombings and all of the things, and very few of them, you know, go to Google and look at what was going on in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Syria back in the 1960s when the Americans used to go over there, you know, as tourists and play polo. And, you know, it was a good relationship. And I think that we've been building on that since the 1960s, that the Muslims now have a very strong voice, even in our Congress with the newly elected women that are there now. And I don't think that the post... that the pre-Saddam Hussein era of Pakistanis and Iranians and Iraqis that have lived in America since you know, for hundreds of years, almost as long as some of the pilgrims have, like in Dandridge, Tennessee, there's a big presence of them there, and there's a large Muslim community. And I just think that's going to be our strength, our diversity, and the fact that, you know, there's so many of them that have lived here before the problem started to arise, and that their problem is in their country and it should remain, you know, in their country. And we're doing everything we can to try to help them with their own civil war without drawing ourselves into it. And hopefully there's enough people over there that will see that that is our intention. We have no intention of actively participating, you know, in their lives or to try to change their lives in any way.
All right, Jack, I'm going to let you go now and move on to another caller, but thanks for that call. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to weigh in about what you think, whether there will be an escalation in violence, Jack takes the, you know, the position that cooler heads will prevail. I hope he's right. Let's go on to Bonnie in St. Pete. Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to say? Sorry, I can't figure out how to put you on the air, Bonnie. I'm sorry. Let's try Joe. I'll come back to you, Bonnie, and I'll try Joe. All right, Joe, what's on your mind?
I think Pompeo hit the nail on the head. I think appeasement is just looking for trouble. And I think their bullies, you know, and the terrorists really need to go.
The bullies and the terrorists, who are you talking about?
The radical Muslims. And also anybody that's fighting our country, fighting our troops, against our, you know, troops.
I don't know much about the religion of this general who was killed. Is he a radical Muslim?
I would imagine so. Well, you know that Iran is a terrorist state, and they sponsor terrorism. I mean, that's common knowledge. I don't think you could argue with that. And he was their main guy. He was their brain. He was like Bin Laden was for, you know, the terrorists.
So I am going to argue with you. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but give us an example. When has Iran or this general in specific committed an act of terrorism?
Mostly against the Jewish state, I'd say.
You might be talking about proxies, but there's...
Yeah, right.
Well, that's kind of a... I mean, if you're gonna assassinate someone... well, okay, that's just kind of a stretch is all I'm trying to say.
Well, if you send someone out to kill, then you're responsible as well as the person who pulls the trigger. Actually, more responsible.
I just don't think that there's very much evidence that this general has sent people to kill people in Israel. I mean, it just doesn't... I haven't seen that evidence.
Well, look what happened in Iran when they took when they invaded the embassy. I mean, they hate our guts, and they do sponsor terrorism. And he was their top general, their top mind.
Who is the?
They're all on the streets chanting "Death to America." That didn't just start after after that Soleimani, whatever the hell his name is, got waxed.
All right, Joe. I don't want to sound argumentative with you, but I mean. When the Iranians took over the embassy, the U.S. embassy in the 70s, in the late 70s, what were they protesting? They weren't saying, hey, we're terrorists, we hate America for no reason. Why were they upset at the U.S.?
Why don't you tell me?
Well, I will tell you, because they had the Shah of Iran that the U.S. placed in power after the democratically elected president of Iran was overthrown by the CIA, by the U.S. So I think that you'd be upset if that happened as well.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head too. That's exactly right. That was a problem, and I think we can blame our CIA for that.
Well, cool, great conversation, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the show.
I don't think you argued with me at all. We just exchanged ideas, and thank you.
All right,
bye.
All right, thanks, Joe. All right, Bonnie,
bye.
I'm going to try to put you on. I think I've got you now. Please go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, are you there?
I am, and Bob Marley keeps trying to inject himself into this conversation as well. But go ahead, please.
Okay. I'm not a staunch political person, and I think what caught my eye with this situation that's now happened is it's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where the audience always gets dumped on by those who are up on stage with their antics. In this case, unfortunately, continued war and death. And I don't know why we haven't changed our perspective in how are we going to deal with the fallout? If it's inevitable that there's going to be war, then why aren't we focusing on what's going to happen with the fallout? Who's going to take care of the refugees? We've already seen what's happened with the last refugee movement that came out of the Middle East. And we've had so many immigration refugee movements. That's why I say it's another version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I say that to be satirically light, but there's absolutely nothing funny about what I'm promoting.
Sometimes lightness is appreciated. So thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for calling in. 813-239-9663 is the number to call in if you'd like to join the conversation. It's 12:25 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday on WMNF. And we've got some calls backed up and some emails and texts I want to get to as well. But I do want to play a little bit more audio. I don't want to just leave you with Pompeo's version of the of things. I also want to, if we have time, to play some of the leading contenders for the Democratic nomination for president, that one of these people will likely run against against Donald Trump next November. And so let's play, if you're on the phone, stay on the hold. But I want to play Joe Biden speaking on Saturday. The former vice president spoke to a gaggle of reporters about this airstrike and the possible escalation of violence. So here is Joe Biden. We'll probably hear from a couple of other candidates as well later on in the show.
Look, no president has a right to take a country to war without the informed consent of the American people. The informed consent. And right now, we have no idea what this guy has in mind. We have no idea. He's isolated us from our partners. He's isolated us from our NATO allies. First time I'm aware, NATO allies are saying both treating us and Iran as equals. Both of us should back down. Both of us should not move forward. And, you know, this is totally predictable when he moved away from the agreement we had on nuclear power. Now you have the combination of Iran and China and Russia patrolling together in the Gulf. You have us isolated from our allies, and we have no idea, I have no idea, whether he has any plan at all. But when he makes statements like that, it just seems to me to be he's going off on a tweet storm on his own. And it's incredibly dangerous and irresponsible. I have no idea whether he's coordinated with any of our allies. I have no idea whether or not he has the support of his own generals and his national security team. This is a guy who seems to be unmoored. You may remember, some of you asked me this question a long time ago. I said, the more the walls close in on this guy, the thing I worried most about is him doing something irrational, maybe getting us into a war. So he has no authority, no authority to strike Iran without the informed consent of the American people, meaning informing the Congress. And what I saw on the way over here, or not away, while I got here, I was shown by my staff a response from Nancy Pelosi where he sent a classified document saying why he did what he did. It can't be classified. It has to be informed. The American people have to have the informed consent of the Congress to say, you have a right, Mr. President, to do that. He's being irresponsible.
Well, that's former Vice President Joe Biden speaking to a gaggle of reporters over the weekend, saying that the president is being completely irresponsible with this airstrike and with the, I guess, the escalation of rhetoric that's happened since then. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Jim in Tampa says, my concern is that we and Iran attack each other's oil fields and tankers, fuel and cost of living prices will skyrocket, causing suffering. So that is Jim in Tampa, his take. And let me read this one paragraph from the AP from this morning. And what's been your experience out there in the world seeing the prices? The global benchmark for crude oil has risen above $70 a barrel for the first time in more than 3 months. The increase came amid jitters over the escalating military tensions between Iran and the United States after an American drone strike killed an Iranian general. The price of oil is now up more than 5% since the killing, and major stock markets are down around the world amid fears of how Iran would fulfill its vow of harsh retaliation and by threats of more U.S. aggression. The energy industry is worried that Iran could strike at oil and gas facilities along the Persian Gulf that are important to the U.S. and to its regional allies. So that's a little bit from the AP from this morning. And so thanks, Jim in Tampa, for that text message. Pete in Seminole writes, I guess we have to trust our government to some extent, no matter Republican or Democrat, if we get wind of American lives supposedly going to be lost. that was the reason for this attack, correct? I don't know if it was a significant amount or one person we would have lost. So just to justify the killing of a foreign diplomat or military leader may have been our only alternative. We'll have to wait and see now, Pete, says Pete in Seminole. And that's one of the problems. And Schumer got at that this morning. We might hear from Schumer later in the show, something recorded before. He sent a letter that I mentioned earlier in the show where he's essentially was telling the president, look, we got this classified justification for why you did this airstrike and why it was necessary, but we really don't have any information, or we can't release that information publicly about why. So we don't know the answer to your question, Pete. Was there really an imminent attack? If there was, shouldn't the American people know about it? I mean, if the U.S. is going to take a drone and have the drone launch a missile and assassinate a foreign general in a third party, in a third country, that is, in Iraq, that's pretty big. I think that there should be an unclassified, I agree with Chuck Schumer, I'm going to say, I think there should be an unclassified version of that report that says, here's why we did it, and here's why it needed to happen, and you can make up your mind of whether you think it was the correct thing to do or not, American public. So that's why Chuck Schumer and the New Jersey senator were upset at the president for sending a classified report. So thanks for that, Pete in Seminole. And I'm going to get to some of these phone calls. I see it looks like all men on the line. So please, if once a phone line opens up, if a woman calls in, I will put you first in the queue. So please call in. Who's been holding the longest? It looks like it is Rob in Largo. All right, Rob, you should be on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just going to comment about what you've been talking about the general. I guess it was widely reported on the news. I haven't fact-checked it, but George W. had the opportunity to take this guy out a long time ago, and even though the people when he was in office and Cheney and them were not doves, they decided it was not a good thing to do. And then I believe Obama had the opportunity to take this guy out and decided that that was not the right thing to do. But Trump, of course, we all know, shoots from the hip. The man is not a strategist. He doesn't listen to anybody for advice. He never has in his whole life when it comes to business. He makes bad decisions day after day after day. He did it in his civilian life, and now he's doing it as president. And I just think it's a bad move. There's other things to do. He never weighs out the consequences of what may happen down the road. He shoots from the hip, and he lets the chips fall where they may. I don't think that's a good way to especially be the leader of the free world, let alone did do this, you know, the way he has been doing, and that's what I believe. The guy makes poor decisions. He has all through his life, and never thinks about the ramifications of what may happen or what's going to happen down the road. I mean, that's my thought. What do you think?
Well, rather than say what I think, what could be some possible scenarios? What do you think? I don't want to, you know, paint it as a worst case scenario, but what are some things that could happen a week, a month, a year from now?
There could be an attack on terrorist things. I mean, we all know that Iran, you know, we've never gotten along with Iran for 50, 60 years. We've had problems. They've taken hostages under Jimmy Carter, Reagan. We've not had a very good relationship with Iran for many, many years. And then when Iraq fought Iran, they were our proxy back then. That's when we backed Saddam Hussein, if people remember correctly.
That famous photo of Rumsfeld shaking the hand of Saddam.
And you know how this works. I mean, it's been this way for a long time. There needs to be changes in the way that we do things over there. And I believe also, as I'm sure many people do, that were it not for the oil over there, that we would care less about the Middle East. I think there's American oil interests over there. I think the military, I was in the military. My dad was 25 years in the military. My brother was 20 years. I believe that the military has been used for police force for the oil companies and these big oil interests over there in the Middle East, which is why we're there in the first place. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope war is not an option. I hope they think better of that, because You know, everybody thinks we're the mightiest of mighty. And if you remember right, everybody believed that in Vietnam as well, and Korea. And we both know how that turned out. You know, the biggest kid on the block doesn't always win. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways to get mired down, and I don't believe our American servicemen and women should be put in harm's way unless it's absolutely, positively necessary.
Rob, thanks for the call. I'm going to move on, if that's all right. So thank you so much for that call, Rob. And if you'd like to call in, especially if I'm still looking for a woman caller, 813-239-9663. Let me read a couple of emails. John writes, thanks for the show. I think the main reason the people of Iran took over the U.S. embassy was due to the U.S. support of a brutal dictator in the U.S. that the U.S. installed. And then John goes on to quote something from The Crimson. It was indeed a strange episode when the Shah of Iran, former head of one of the world's most brutal and repressive states, managed to land in the U.S. as a private citizen. The Shah systematically dismantled the judicial system of Iran and the country's guarantees of personal and social liberties. His regime consistently violated the codes of law and justice, destroying the dignity of our people by treating them like backward savages to be pulled with an iron hand out of the Middle Ages into the light of the modern era. Nearly every source of creative, artistic, and intellectual endeavor in our culture was suppressed. That's a quote that John sent from The Crimson. And, you know, I don't think you can understate that. I mean, what if a foreign government today removed from power the president, the duly elected president of the United States, and installed a puppet, a dictator that was controlled essentially, or would at least do the bidding of this other foreign government? What if China did this today? I mean, you would be still upset if, you know, when it looked like in 20 years when China was giving this person's sanctuary, you would be upset, period. And that's, you know, one of the main reasons why the youth of Iran were very upset in the late 1970s at the U.S. But it's not the 70s anymore, but everything kind of goes back to that overthrow of the democratically elected leader of Iran in the 50s. 813-239-9663. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Oh, is it Marie on Indian Rocks Beach?
Yes, it's Marie.
Thanks for calling in, Marie. What's on your mind?
Well, I think this whole attack is just something that I look at Trump, and what I see is a child who has a bucket list, a teenager, and it's irrational behaviors and decisions all based on some bucket list that he wants to get done. Because he's just so messed up. So I'm always confused as to why people voted for him. I'm always stunned about the stuff I hear. They're saying he's trying to buy Greenland, I think it was. And I thought maybe that was just a joke. But I think every decision he makes is based on, what do I want to do next? Nobody's going to tell me what to do, just like a teenage boy.
You know what's
weird? What makes him so dangerous.
You know what's strange about that bucket list thing is it's almost like the list changes, because when he was running for president, one of the things that he said he wanted to do was get the U.S. troops out of Iraq. And now it seems like once the people of Iraq are standing up and saying, we want the U.S. to leave, now the Trump administration is fighting that.
Well, and I'll tell you honestly, I feel like he's bipolar. So what the reality is no matter what you say, he wants to argue against it with no rational thought at all. So I'm just, again, disgusted and embarrassed that he's our president.
All right, Marie, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that. And
have a great day.
Thank you, too. We're going to go now to Mike in Sarasota, who wants to call me out on some of the comments I made. What did you have in mind?
Actually, I don't know where you got the idea. I want to call you out. I was going to answer one of your questions about the escalation. And there is so much to say on this, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want to echo the comments of your previous caller that apparently we have a president who is taking policy initiatives based on personal issues. And I think the New York Times said this pretty well in a recent editorial. He's just acting impulsively. He's trying to show strength. He's trying to show the world that he is somebody, and he took this action against Iran, and it was very impulsive, and it's like a bull in a china shop. And I think something that hasn't been mentioned that I would like to contribute is this is the second time that Trump has hurt people who've been fighting ISIS. Remember the Kurds? They fought ISIS, and then Trump stabbed them in the back. Well, now here in Iraq, you've got it was Iran which was helping the Iraqis fight ISIS, and now Trump is stabbing them in the back, and that's just. It just shows how little Trump thinks about upcoming consequences.
Yeah, that coalition that was cobbled together to fight ISIS, I mean, so ISIS is a legitimate terrorist organization, and we were using the word terrorism earlier in the show, that's why I'm pointing that out. And so you had several groups, the U.S., even, you know, perhaps Russia and the Bashar regime in Syria, and this Iranian general, all fighting this terrorist group, ISIS.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into the whole definition of terrorism. I think that's a very slippery thing. I mean, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. I do want to say this, though, this is to some of your other callers. What we need to remember, this is Iraq. Why is the U.S. in Iraq? Because of we invaded. We are foreign invaders. They're illegally. And we invaded based on lies, and we're keeping our presence there based on lies. Now, you did ask the question about if this is going to escalate the conflict, and I think that question has already been answered. Number one, what it did is it has radicalized, and this is something the New York Times put out as well, by killing Soleimani. This has radicalized people all over the world, including in Iran. There's no more chance for moderates in Iran to have any impact now. And it has radicalized Iraq. The parliament voted to boot the U.S. out. And so, and then other actions that have already been taken, Iran's decided to completely ignore the nuclear agreement. And I think the thing that we need to look forward to, you asked about this, over the next couple of weeks or months, is in Iraq, the Iraqi forces have been cooperating with the United States. Well, now, you know, if their government decides to kick the U.S. out, those U.S. forces will be in a foreign country, and they will be isolated. Now, you know, what will happen to their supply line, their food, to their electricity, to their water, et cetera? So I think, that there is an example of an escalation with direct consequences on U.S. troops.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for all those thoughts. I appreciate that. Thanks for saying all those things. And please call again. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663. Let me read an email, and then I'm going to go to another soundbite. This comes from James, and he says, I want the next president and AG to investigate and prosecute this whole criminal regime that's in power that includes children. If we don't, chances are another Trump with intelligence could come to power and become a real dictator. You know, that whole investigating the crimes, I guess if you want to use that word, the potential crimes of an administration, well, you know, that could have happened in 2009, but when President Barack Obama took office, he said, we want to look forward, not backwards. And a lot of the same things that happened in the Bush years continue. You know, all this kind of started with the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Of course, it goes back further than that, but it was certainly escalated by that. And the U.S. has decided, I guess, that we're just not going to look at that. And that's coming back to hurt us, I think. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Right now, all the lines are filled, but we will go back to the phone lines in just a second. But I wanted to get a few voices on the other side. We heard from Mike Pompeo, and I thought we could hear from some of the candidates who are running to potentially replace the president and what they think. So here is the probably right now in second place nationally in among the Democrats, Bernie Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders spoke in Iowa about Iran. He spoke for 12 minutes. I'm not going to be able to play the whole thing, but let me just play a couple minutes to give you a taste of what this Democrat, the independent senator from Vermont, says about the strike on the Iranian general.
Yesterday, President Trump ordered the assassination of a top Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani, in Iraq, along with the leader of an Iraqi militia. This is a dangerous escalation that brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East, which could cost countless lives and trillions more dollars and lead to even more death, more conflict, more displacement in that already highly volatile region of the world. When I voted against the war in Iraq in 2002, I feared that it would result in greater destabilization in that country and in the entire region. At that time, I warned about the deadly so-called unintended consequences of a unilateral invasion. Today, 17 years later, that fear has unfortunately turned out to be a truth. The United States has lost some 4,500 brave men and women fighting in Iraq. Tens of thousands have been wounded. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have been killed, and trillions of dollars have been spent on that war. The result? Today, we have massive unrest in that country. We have corruption in that country. We have terrible poverty in that country. And now, Iraqis want American troops out. All of that suffering, all of that death, all of that huge expenditures of money, for what? It gives me no pleasure to tell you that at this moment we face a similar crossroads fraught with danger.
All right, well, Bernie Sanders goes on. That was a speech he gave in Iowa the other day. You can look it up on C-SPAN website if you'd like to watch the rest of it. But I just wanted to play a few voices of people who are dissenting, who are saying that this was not, maybe not the best thought out idea. Let me read this email and then go back to the phone lines. Amine writes in that we haven't yet even mentioned the downing of the Iranian civilian aircraft that killed more than 200 innocent people. So that's another reason, I guess, that Amin is saying that Iranians would be upset at the U.S. government. All right. I'm not going to give out the number right now because we've got a full bank of phone lines, but I will give it out later in the show if we have time. It's 12:48 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. We're talking about the U.S. and Iran escalating, perhaps, in the conflict, and what you think might happen in the near future. So let's go now to Jeanette in St. Pete. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to say that I really think that Trump did this to flex his muscles, to get his base going all gung-ho, like he likes them to be all, yes, let's go out there and get them. And he wants a war with Iran. I mean, he dislikes Muslims. We already know that. He doesn't want them coming into our country. And then he turns around and he breaks up the treaty that we had that froze their nuclear capabilities. Now, then he puts on these sanctions. Now we've got another mess on our hands with him taking out one of, you know, their generals that they all loved. Why would he do that unless he thought maybe it would be some extra money in his pocket or in his top 1%'s pocket, because war does bring money into the country.
War, certainly a lot of people profit from war. And in fact, an emailer wrote in, some gave all, many gave some, and then some profited $39 billion. And there's a picture of Dick Cheney with his thumbs up in front of Halliburton.
So that's how they make their money, and that's how they help their party.
So that's the point of that. A lot of people could profit off of war, but in general, war is bad for the people. Not even just the people who are fighting, of course. But look at what's happened to the stock market. It hit a record high on Thursday, and it fell on Friday, and it was falling today. So obviously, the stock market is not an ideal indicator of how the rest of us are doing out there. But it's just one indication, and the cost of gasoline to all of us is going up. So I don't, I don't know if economically this is going to be a good move for Trump.
Maybe in the long run for few, what happened before
for the 1%.
Yeah, right. And then the other thing I was going to say is that we should be worried about retaliation. I can't believe anybody would say nothing's going to happen. It's all going to blow over. I just can't believe that anybody would think that.
All right, maybe they're very optimistic, and I hope that they're right. But thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Jeanette, I appreciate the female voice. Thank you so much. Let's go now to Bob in Tampa. You've been holding for a long time. Bob, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say a few things about, I'm curious about how the United States can label a country as a state sponsor of terrorism, when the history of the United States has been terrorism to other countries. Am I off the topic here?
This is completely on the topic. What are your thoughts about the hypocrisy of the use of that word?
Okay, the thing is, isn't Iran just taking care of their region? And the reason that they're all mad at us is because of the way we've acted over the last 200 years, taking out presidents of countries, all that stuff that we've done that makes this country look really bad. No wonder the Muslim world is pissed off at us. And going into Iraq was definitely the turning point. And at the same time, we've supported, someone else said it before, we've supported terrorist groups that were working to our benefit. No. If they don't come over here and try to take over our country and make us do what they want. But it's just bad.
All right, Bob, thanks. Anything else?
I just can't stand our government calling names on people that are just doing the same things that we do in our region. So that's it.
All right. Thanks so much for that call, Bob. Thank you for calling in. And it's 12:53 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. We've had some people holding for a really long time, so I want to get a few people more on the air. But we're talking about Iran. What is the next step? Is it going to escalate? What do you think? Ryan in Tampa, you want to talk about foreign policy?
Yeah, I just want to, kind of take the conversation a little bit from down in the weeds that it's been. We can discuss the merits of the president's decision and the actual assassination until the cows come home. But I want to just say, if anyone is familiar with Clausewitz, there's a common military science theory that, all warfare is merely an extension of politics, right? Because ultimately, it's a means by which to achieve either an economic or a political desired end state. And so, Trump's decision, I want to be careful not to give undue credit due where it clearly isn't in his, as many of your guests have already commented, that he's not a grand strategist. But there's something in the military called commander's intent, okay? And commander's intent is comprised of three components, which is a stated purpose, the implied and specified tasks, and the desired end state, okay? And we would have been in a foreseeable, what's referred to as a low-level or low-intensity conflict with Iran for who knows how long, unending. And what the president's decision did was rapidly accelerate that timetable to achieve the end state, okay? And so you could think of it akin to, two opponents playing a hand of poker that just goes on and goes on and goes on. And Trump just called the opponent. He just put his cards on the table and said, I call.
So I hear you, and I get that, and I can see how that would be a one way to do things. But do you think that it's going to, you know, resolve itself now, or do you think it will still be a low level or a higher level problem for years and years to come? I mean, honestly, I get what you're saying from an academic standpoint, but it doesn't seem to me like we're going to reach an end state soon, unless we're talking about mutual annihilation, which I hope we're not.
No, because, you know, I think Iran is very aware that if they are to retaliate, that, you know, the reason why this whole thing got set off to begin with is we messaged the Iranians months ago that as these aggressive acts kept intensifying and, you know, the tit for tat was perpetuated, we said, if this results in an American loss of life, that's our red line in the sand, and that's when the gloves come off. And when Khatib Hezbollah had the rocket attack that killed the U.S. contractor, that was it. So you could say Trump was right, wrong, or indifferent. At least he backed up what he said, and he followed through. And then we ended up killing 25 terrorists through those rocket attacks or drone strikes on five different compounds. So I think, you know, whether it's right or wrong, he's trying to be consistent. And you know, Iran has got to know that if whatever they do in retaliation to us, if it results in the loss of more American lives, military or otherwise, you know, the end result of this, no matter how you draw out the arithmetic problem, the solution is bombs over Tehran, and they don't want that. So, you know, I don't know where this leaves us. I don't think anyone does. I think everyone's speculating and you know, because this is truly uncharted territory, you know. As I commented previously, the last time we assassinated a state recognized military leader was Admiral Yamamoto in World War II. So this is a game changer, and we don't know how the Iranians are going to react, but we hope that they'll realize that whatever they do, you know, unless they want, you know, anything they do past a certain threshold is going to result in regime change. And I don't think they want that any more than we do. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, thanks for those really scary thoughts, because honestly, like, I just can't picture anything like that happening. I can't see how the U.S. could cause regime change in Iran without completely destroying the country. I mean, it just doesn't have a very good record of having positive political outcomes in the places where it's bombing. And so, I mean, unless you're talking about the Libya model, which is certainly a chaotic model, you know, if that's what you're talking about, that's a scary future. All right. Well, thank you for that call, Ryan. And Joanne in Tampa, in the closing minute of our show, what would you like to say? Are you there, Joanne? Let me try this.
I am.
Okay, there you go. I had the wrong line. Go ahead.
Yes. I just don't think people should be chalking this up to impulsivity or a lack of strategy. I just think they need to look at what his strategy might be, as in firing up his base, personal financial gain, that sort of thing. He's not as ridiculous as everybody thinks, even though I dislike him intensely. I just think that he's out for himself and nothing but himself. And I think that's all this is about.
Why does it fire up the base, though? I mean, what about this whole situation would get people to get excited about a political leader?
Well, I think that it shows in their minds that he's a strong leader, that he'll do what he says he'll do. But a lot of people if a lot of people who like Trump also dislike people in the Middle East. So they're probably not unhappy to see things unrest and to have them attacked.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Joanne. Thanks for that call. And thank you to all the callers who are on hold. Mike, Al, Clay, sorry I did not get to you. I had so many people calling in today, but feel free to leave a voicemail, 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show, or the person who's calling in right now, you can feel free to leave me a voicemail, 813-238-8001, extension 114. If you missed any of this show, you can listen to it on our website, wmnf.org/news. And you can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank Frank Knox for answering phones. And I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will sit in this chair and host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned right now for Latino 54, hosted by Franco Silva, coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.